I will now introduce President Anderson to you. President D.F. Anderson is a former president of the Mount Timpanogos Utah Temple. President Anderson graduated with a bachelor's degree in accounting from Utah State Agricultural College, currently known as Utah State University. President Anderson served as an officer in the U.S. Army during the Korean War and completed his service as budget and accounting officer for units in England. After the war, he worked for various businesses and CPA firms in Utah and Idaho. He also owned and operated his own business in Utah and has served as administrative vice president of both the University of Utah and Brigham Young University. In 1970, President Anderson was called to be the Associate Commissioner of Education for the Church Educational System and Secretary to the Board of Trustees for all the educational entities of the Church. He also served as the Executive Assistant to the Presiding Bishop's Office and the first Managing Director of the Information Systems Department, and worked with the First Presidency to establish the Budget Office of the Church and correlate long-range planning efforts. President Anderson has served in the Church in many other capacities, including as a bishop, stake president, member of the Young Men's General Board, president of the Hawaii Honolulu Mission, and as a missionary with his wife in the Ohio Cleveland Mission. Currently, he serves as the high priest group leader in his ward. He and his wife, Frances, are the parents of 7 children. They have 29 grandchildren, 18 great-grandchildren, with one more on the way. Following Brother Anderson's address, the congregation will sing all 3 verses of "I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go," and then Jennifer Marks will offer the benediction.
Brothers and sisters, I feel so blessed to be with you today. In February of 1978, more than 30 years ago, I stood at this pulpit and shared with the students and faculty and staff of Ricks College the feelings of my heart. My prayer for all of us today is the same as it was in 1978. Just like the prayer of many of your parents and your leaders here at BYU Idaho. It's the prayer offered by King David for his son Solomon, as recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 19. Quote, "And give unto my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep my commandments." Those who love you, and that includes all of us, and who teach and direct you at this institution, realize that it is when you follow the Savior with a perfect heart and keep His commandments that you will find a life of true joy and happiness, and there is no other way. Now, having said that, it's just good to be back with you today. First time I was on this campus officially was in the fall of 1970. I was then Associate Commissioner of the Church Educational System and Secretary of the Board of Education and of the Ricks College Board of Trustees. That day I was accompanying Elder Neil A. Maxwell, who had just been called by the First Presidency to be the Commissioner of the newly organized Church Educational System. President Joseph Fielding Smith and President Harold B. Lee had asked Brother Maxwell to visit this campus and to please express their appreciation to President John Clark and his associates for all of the excellent work that they had done and were doing. President Clark had served here for more than 26 years as president of Ricks College through some very trying times. During those years, he'd seen the student body increase from 200 to about 5,200 students. He was doing his work on a very limited budget and with very limited facilities. In 1970, it was time for President Clark to retire. Elder Maxwell had been sent here to inform the faculty and the staff that the Lord was very interested in the future of this institution and that a search was underway for a person to replace President Clark. As Secretary of the Board of Trustees, I watched as the brethren considered and approved Brother Henry B. Eyring to be president of this college. You know him, of course, today as President Eyring of the First Presidency of the Church. His son is with us today. All I can say, that surely was an inspired choice, wasn't it? Following President Eyring, the Lord called a number of brethren to lead this institution. As it is changed and as it is changing from a rather small and insignificant college to what is to become and will become one of the most unique and outstanding institutions of higher education. To give you an idea of what I think is to come, Brother Carl B. Mazur said, quote, "We go to the East for learning, but the East will come to the West for wisdom," unquote. President Eyring was followed by President Bruce C. Hafen, who was followed by President Joe J. Christensen, who was followed by President Steve Bennion, and then President David A. Bednar was called to be president. These brethren were all great educators, but more importantly, they are great priesthood holders and leaders of the church. Each is blessed with an outstanding testimony of the mission of the church and of this institution. And more importantly, they followed the direction of the Lord and the direction of the prophets as they did their work. Recently, you all know that the Lord, through his prophet, has called President Kim B. Clark to lead this institution. What you must be aware of is that there is hardly an institution of higher education in this country that would not have rejoiced had Brother Clark consented to lead their institution. But instead, he followed his prophet's call and was blessed. And how blessed we are, and how blessed we will be because he is here. Now, it's important to note, brothers and sisters, that through this period of time, the Lord has directed the gathering of a most qualified and spiritual faculty and staff to assist President Clark and his associates in seeing that each of you have an opportunity to have an outstanding educational and spiritual experience while you're here. The Lord is now using a large amount of tithing and other resources to make this college the kind of institution he wants it to be. According to the Lord's instructions in the 119th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, one of the main uses of the tithing resources of the church is for the, quote, laying the foundation of Zion, unquote. When you read the 120th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, you'll see that the First Presidency and the Quorum of the Twelve and the Presiding Bishopric are involved in making those decisions. But they are not the only ones involved in those decisions. As the Doctrine and Covenants states, quote, "It is the voice of the Lord unto them," unquote, that directs these brethren in the work of allocating the sacred tithing funds of the church. Now it's my testimony to you today that the Lord is guiding this work in a way that he said he would. Because of some of my past assignments, I was blessed to be in many meetings when budgets and expenditures were discussed. I witnessed the Lord making his will known to those brethren over and over again as they approved the use of church resources for this institution. It's a wonderful opportunity for all of us to be involved in such an institution and as such and in such an important work. Remember, brothers and sisters, the investment the Lord makes in this college is an investment in you for your behalf, and it's to help you be leaders of the work of laying the foundation of Zion in the earth. That is your assignment. You are being trained to be leaders in your homes and in the world after you've left this institution. Brother Carl G. Mazur, again, who founded BYU under the direction of Brigham Young, said, quote, the purpose of establishment of schools in which religious instruction could be given was to combat the invasion of unbelief, skepticism, moral deficiency, and other objectionable influences which are present in this society. Now, you're all aware that we have much more evil and many more objectionable influences in our society today than ever in the time of Brother Major. We are to help combat those evil influences and to do a good job of it because of our experiences at this institution. Now, I've been reviewing some background for you and the purposes of BYU Idaho to let you see what it is to become and to suggest to each of you as that it's your job also to become leaders in building Zion on the earth. There's one thing you can be sure of, brothers and sisters. This institution will be changing in years to come as it becomes more and more perfect in the performance of its mission. You should change and grow in a like manner. Remember what the Lord has told us. He's told us that we will be judged by what we become as a result of our experiences in this life. We need to remember his instructions to us as he asks us, quote, "Therefore, what manner of men ought ye to be?" Unquote. Question mark, "even as I am," unquote. This should be each of our goals. Now today, I'd like to share with you some lessons that have been important lessons in my life that have helped me to become different than I might have been otherwise. We've all been taught that it's impossible for men to be saved in ignorance. We are often reminded that whatever principle of intelligence we obtain into in this life, it will rise with us in the resurrection. And if a person gains more knowledge and intelligence in this life through his diligence and obedience than another, he will have so much the advantage in the world to come. And we have been taught that the glory of God is intelligence, or in other words, light and truth. The Book of Mormon defines truth, you remember, quote, "The Spirit speaketh and truth, the truth, and lieth not. Wherefore, it speaketh of things as they really are, and of things as they really will be. Truth, then, is knowing things as they really are, not as they may appear to you now." At the present time, we're also constantly reminded, to quote, "to be learned is good, if they hearken unto the counsels of God," unquote. Would you all remember the word "if"? Now, we know that we need to study and seek diligently, and then the Lord, through his Spirit, will be led to truth that will help us use what we have learned in ways that help us to become what we are to become. Now, would you this morning or this afternoon please remember with me the counsel of the Lord through Apostle John A. Widsoe. Quote, "The children of men are expected to use their own powers in all of their affairs. The gathering of knowledge is no exception. Only when man has gone as far as he can and more knowledge is required does the Lord come with direct help." Perhaps this process is just a little like we are taught about being saved in the Book of Mormon. Remember, we're taught, quote, "it is by grace we are saved after all that we can do. You will not be given the answer to your questions if you do not first do all that you can on your own to find the answers. After you do all that you can do, then you should go to the Lord and ask for his help and verification of any question you have." Just as an aside, please remember the saying, "work will win when wishy-washy wishing won't. It's a great lesson to learn to work hard. That's the message I would leave with you in the first point today. With all of your getting, please work hard. Now, the next suggestion I would share with you, I'd like to share with you a personal experience. I was aware of the Lord's counsel to seek learning and to grow. My parents and grandparents had taught me to work hard. And I was living my life like I thought it should be lived. It was way back 100 and so many years ago, 1963, when the world was less hectic and I was much younger. I had an experience that changed my life. I'd completed my college degree. I'd served in the Army. I had returned home to northern Utah. I'd worked for a CPA firm, received my CPA license. And then after some time and experiences, I was finally working for a company in a small Utah city. Life was good. We were satisfied and happy. Life was just as we had planned it would be. I had an important and well-paying position, and as far as I was concerned, I'd reached my professional goals. Then the Lord took a more active part in changing my life. I was called to be ordained to 70. Those were back in the days when 70s were ordained in each stake. Elder, now President, Boyd K. Packer, who was then a young assistant to the Quorum of the Twelve, was assigned to our stake. During his visit, he was to interview those to be ordained, and then after the conference, to ordain us to our priesthood calling. It was the interview and the blessing that I received from President Packer that began to change my life. As a part of a very powerful blessing, Elder Packer blessed me that I would, quote, be blessed with a spirit of divine discontent. How would you like to have a blessing like that? He indicated that I should not and would not be content with what I was doing in my life unless I was doing all I could to, quote, be about the Father's, the Lord's work in the earth by serving my brothers and sisters to the best of my ability. Now, that's the kind of a blessing that gives you a great deal to consider. It dawned on me later that he was reminding me of the Lord's commandment to, quote, seek ye first the kingdom of God, of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. Well, I continued to work in that community and was, after a time, called to be the bishop of the ward at a very young age. I thought I was responding to the blessing. I was doing all I could to serve my brothers and sisters in the ward, and we were happy in where we were living and what we were doing. But I was not content. I felt there was something else I should be doing. It was just about that time in 1965 or 66 that the church announced in the church news that it had an opening for the position of director of long-range planning. I applied. I didn't even get a response to my application. In fact, I knew I wasn't qualified, but I was worried about that priesthood blessing. To make a long story short, at least much shorter, it was 17 years after, and many small miracles in my life, after those miracles, I was asked by the First Presidency to assume the responsibility of coordinating the long-range planning efforts of the church. This was the very work that I had expressed interest in many years before. During those 17 years, I had received many opportunities to be involved in the work of the Lord in His kingdom and to utilize whatever talents the Lord had given me to do His work on the earth. My suggestion to you is to listen to the Lord as He directs your life. Examine your patriarchal blessings. Think of all of the other blessings and counsel you have received, and listen to the Spirit as you strive to be about His work on the earth. Don't be satisfied with your daily work unless you feel you are blessing others by the work you do. Remember the story of the rich young man as recorded in Mark 10, verses 16 through 22. I'm going to pause right here and tell you a story about that. The story of the rich young man as recorded in Mark is depicted in a picture that's in every temple in this church. As the Lord taught that young man in answer to his question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" You remember he told the Lord that he'd kept all the commandments and he'd done everything he thought he should do. And you remember what the scriptures record. The scriptures record that the Lord looked at him and loved him because he was who he was. But because he loved him, he gave him further instructions. And those instructions are contained in the last covenant you make in the holy temples of the Lord. Now, to illustrate the next suggestion I would make to you today, I'll share with you another story, all right? 1967, I was a very young controller at the University of Utah. That's a nasty word down in Utah sometimes. Still, at least at Brigham Young University. I was still trying to follow the counsel of the Lord that had been given to me by President Packer. I was asked to meet with President Harold B. Lee in his office at church headquarters. I'd only met President Lee one brief time before that day. President Lee informed me that Brother Neil A. Maxwell, who had been appointed as the new commissioner of the church educational system, had asked that I be called to be the new associate commissioner of education, responsible for all the finance and budgets and buildings, etc., in the worldwide school system of the church. President Lee asked me if I would accept the position. I told him I would. He asked me if I needed to visit with Sister Anderson before making such a career change. I told him I didn't need to visit with Sister Anderson. We decided together long before that we would always do whatever we were called to do in the Lord's kingdom. President Lee then asked me if I needed to know how much the salary would be for this change in assignment. I told him no. I was sure that I would be satisfied with whatever arrangements he made in that regard. His response was very interesting. He said, "Well, since you feel that way about it, I have some other assignments I would like you to accept." He then outlined several other tasks that he wanted me to work on with him to accomplish what he had in mind for the church as prophet. That was just the beginning of some wonderful experiences with President Lee. Let me tell you about one such experience. One day I entered his office to ask him to sign some papers. He asked how things were going. The work that he'd asked me to do was difficult. It wasn't easy. In fact, in some cases, I wasn't sure that I could get it done. And so I told him that. His response was very interesting. He got up from where he sat in his chair and went to the door of his office, told his secretary, whose name was Francis, to see that we were not disturbed, and then he closed the door. I could tell that Brother Anderson was going to the woodshed. Brothers and sisters, you've read about the brother of Jared, about how he was chastised by the Lord for 3 hours for not calling on the Lord in prayer, as recorded in Ether 2 and 14. I hope you remember his experiences. He learned how much the Lord really loved him and wanted to help him. Here I was, being chastised by a prophet of the Lord, and I was going to learn some of the same lessons. It was one of the sweetest occasions in my life. President Lee had me sit in a chair, and then he laid his hands on my head, and by the power of his priesthood, he taught me the things that he felt I needed to know to accomplish the work that he had asked to be done. He would bless me, then he'd teach me out of the Doctrine and Covenants. Then he would bless me, then he'd teach me again, and then he would bless me, and then he would teach me again. He was a master teacher. When he was finished, he asked me if he thought I could get done what needed to be done. I told him that with that kind of help and understanding, I was sure I could get it done, and if I didn't, it would not be his fault nor the Lord's. Here's the counsel I would leave with you. Never refuse a call to help build up the kingdom of God in the earth or to help establish Zion. Be prepared in advance with determination to always serve the Lord along with your wife and family. Put His work first in your life. Please be willing to accept whatever the Lord sends your way. President Thomas S. Monson teaches us that we can do anything that the Lord calls us to do. Remember his statement, quote, "Who the Lord calls, the Lord qualifies," or, quote, "The Lord shapes the burden to fit the back of those who are to carry it," unquote. Believe what the Lord tells you through his modern-day prophets, seers, and revelators. Part of being a covenant people is that we covenant to use our time to build up the kingdom of God on earth. Just in passing, as you receive any call to a position in the church, will you please take time to read the instructions in the handbooks as to how you are to do His work? Or if you're a teacher, how you are to teach the lessons as contained in the lesson manuals. I continue to be amazed at how many of us think that we know so much that we have no need to read what's been prepared for us by the servants of the Lord to help us do the work of the kingdom. Read the handbook, the lesson manuals, and follow the instructions. I've seen on a firsthand basis, brothers and sisters, how hard the brethren work to be sure we are instructed in ways that allow us to fulfill any calling we are given or to teach any lesson in any class. Follow the manuals. It's just like following the Lord. Or to say it another way, when you do not follow the manuals, you may have a very difficult time getting something done the way the Lord wants it to be done. Now today, my final observation is that one that you've heard many times recently here. You need to take advantage of the greatest opportunity the Lord has given to this generation. That is to search out and learn the lessons that the Lord has prepared for each of us in His holy house. To learn these lessons may take you much of your life, but these are the most important lessons you can learn, and the temple is the place the Lord has prepared for you to be taught. You've had any number of wonderful lessons and talks given to you from this pulpit on the blessings of the temple. Let me just add my testimony to those you've already heard. You are so blessed to be able to go to the temple. That is, once you have your recommend. You can go about as easy as you can attend any of the various classes on this campus. The lessons you learn and the service you give in the house of the Lord are more important for your eternal progress than any lesson you may learn in the classrooms on this campus. And I think the faculty will agree with me on that. But don't use this as an excuse to miss any of your classes, all right? Although you have had outstanding teachers and examples at this institution, consider who is to be your teacher in the temple. Will you please remember with me the lesson contained in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 19 through 22. Quote, "And this greater priesthood administereth the gospel and holdeth the keys of the mysteries of the kingdom, even the keys of the knowledge of God. Therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest. And without these ordinances and the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest to men in the flesh. For without this, no man can see the face of God, even the Father, and live," unquote. The most important lessons taught in the temple are the lessons of service to others who cannot help themselves, and the lessons contained in the priesthood ordinances. Just like other lessons on this campus, these cannot be learned in a single exposure. I had a wonderful friend teach me one day that when we go to the temple, we should not think of growing through the temple, but think of the temple going through us. Will you remember that as you attend there? attend the temple and learn as much as you can, as often as you can. Just a thought that might apply to some of you here. A large number of temple workers are required for the temple to operate as they should. The temple workers have a great opportunity to learn as they serve. There are many times in your life when you desire to serve. There may be times in your life when you want to be a temple worker. Would you let your bishop know if you think you should be a temple worker? He can explain to you what the conditions of such a call are. If you are able to serve in the temple, your life will be greatly enriched, more than you can imagine. My experience in the temple has taught me that I certainly would have been a better person, a better father and husband, a better missionary, a better priesthood leader, a better anything if I would have understood the lessons of the temple earlier in my life. I'm convinced, brothers and sisters, there are many members of the church who go to the temple, who think when they go through the temple, but that's all. That's all they have to do to receive the blessings of the temple, they just go. I do not believe that is true. The lessons must be learned and the blessings earned. To conclude, let me just quote one lesson from the dedicatory prayer of the Kirtland Temple that the Lord revealed to Joseph Smith as he prepared to dedicate that temple. The same blessings are available in every temple to every worthy son or daughter of our Heavenly Father. And I quote, "And we ask thee, Holy Father, that thy servants may go forth from this house armed with thy power, and that thy name may be upon them, and thy glory round about them, and thy angels have charge over them. And from this place they may bear exceedingly great and glorious tidings in truth and to the ends of the earth, that they may know that this is thy work, and that thou hast put forth thy hand to fulfill which thou hast spoken by the mouths of the prophets concerning the last days. Learn the lessons of the temple." These are desirable blessings for each of us to become what we are to become. As I pause here, I want to remind you that this institution is becoming something better and greater than it ever has been. You are to become something greater and better than you ever have been. Life is a journey in progression, and you know where it's to end, back with your Heavenly Father. I pray today that each of us will do the things that we need to do to receive the blessings of the temple and to continue to become what we are to become. I leave you my testimony, a testimony of the truthfulness of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, a testimony of the great love of our Heavenly Father that He has for each of us, a testimony of the divinity and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ, and His desire to have us become, quote, like Him, unquote. May we become more like Him as we learn to learn, as we learn to serve, and as we learn to listen to the Lord and to grow. I say these things this afternoon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.